But the legendary castrati Farinelli would one day be the subject of a biopic, and you can hear how the film's music director managed to recreate his voice. It was quite a blend. Stay tuned. The Early Music Show is in just a couple of minutes today here on Radio 3. But with the time now at 1 o'clock, first a summary of the BBC News. The Labour leader Ed Miliband has promised that his party will strengthen the minimum wage, improve access to childcare, and reverse recent changes to housing benefit if it wins the next election. He was speaking in Brighton, where he was meeting delegates and members of the public before the Labour Party conference begins tomorrow. Pakistan's foreign ministry has confirmed that the country's highest-ranking Taliban captive, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, has been released. The Afghan government has been pressing for him to be freed because he's seen as one of the few senior Taliban figures willing to negotiate. Mullah Baradar was once the Taliban's deputy leader in Afghanistan. The UK Independence Party has resumed its conference in central London, with the leadership hoping to move forward after the event was derailed yesterday by comments by one of its most outspoken members. The MEP Godfrey Bloom was suspended after jokingly saying women who didn't clean behind their fridge were sluts, and then hitting a reporter on the head with a conference brochure. The UKIP leader Nigel Farage says his future in the party doesn't look good. The man who was in charge of children's services in Coventry when Danielle Pelker was murdered has stepped down from his new job in East London. Tower Hamlets Council said Colin Green was withdrawing as chairman of the local Safeguarding Children Board with immediate effect. The Labour MP for Coventry, Geoffrey Robinson, described Mr Green's job move as an affront to public opinion. A serious case review said Mr Green's team had missed numerous opportunities to intervene in the Pelker case. Four men have been charged in connection with the theft of £1.3 million from Barclays Bank. The men, who are aged between 26 and 47, are accused of installing a device on the bank's computer system that allowed the cash to be transferred into another account. And the weather for this afternoon: patchy rain and drizzle will affect many western areas of the UK, with the best of any sunny spells in the east of the country. It'll be breezy in the north, and there'll be more rain. And that's the BBC News and the weather. It's 2.5 minutes past one. The pianist Christian Blackshaw gave our live lunchtime concert last Monday here on Radio 3. If you missed it, there's a second chance to enjoy his performances of Schubert and Schumann in an hour from now. But next, our Sound of Cinema season continues with today's Early Music Show. It's introduced by Catherine Bott.
Aria Generoso Risvegliati o Core from Adolf Huss's 1731 opera Cleofide, sung there by not just one voice, but two. Yes, you're ahead of me. It's from the soundtrack of the 1994 film based on the life of the great 18th century castrato Farinelli. But of course, it's been a long time since a real life castrato singer strutted among us. And the only recording we have of one is Alessandro Moreschi, who was already at the end of his performing career when his haunting voice was captured for posterity in 1902. So when Belgian film director Gérard Corbiou decided to turn Farinelli's colourful life into a full-length biopic, he gave music director Christophe Rousset the task of coming up with a way to create something as near to the castrato sound as he could. The recipe? Take one countertenor and one soprano and blend electronically until they sound as one. To mix my metaphors in grand style now, enter stage right, the Polish soprano Ewa Malaskotlewska, and stage left, the American countertenor Derek Lee Reagan. Here's another excerpt from the soundtrack to give you a better idea of how this lovingly created vocal hybrid actually works.
Oh.
The voices of soprano Eva Malaskotlevska and countertenor Derek Lee Reagan, electronically mixed to represent the imagined sound of the 18th century castrato Farinelli on the soundtrack to the film about his life. They were accompanied in that aria from Porpora's opera Polifemo by Les Talents Lyriques, directed by Christophe Rousset. As no one today really possesses the vocal range of a castrato, which could be as much as 3.5 octaves, Eva Malaskotlevska and Derek Lee Reagan were recorded separately, Derek singing the lower passages and Eva the higher, and then they were digitally merged. This precise and painstaking operation resulted in nearly 3,000 edit points. It was then necessary to homogenise the two singers' timbre in order to give Farinelli his own voice, both new and at the same time respectful of the original voices. Fine artists both. Let's hear them both separately now to give an idea of what they sounded like pre-edit. This is Eva Malaskotlevska in one of Handel's most famous arias.
Thank you.
the aria Lascia che io pianga from Handel's opera Rinaldo, sung by the soprano Eva Malaskodlewska, with Christophe Rousset directing Les Talents Lyriques, on the soundtrack of the 1994 film Farinelli. That was the only track in the film in which Eva's voice wasn't digitally mixed with that of Derek Lee Regan. Now you've heard Eva raw, so to speak, let's have a burst of unprocessed Derek as well. This is an aria from Cavalli's opera La Callisto. Derek Lee Regan with the musicians of Teatro Lirico, directed by Stephen Stubbs, in the aria Lucidissima Face from Cavalli's La Callisto. The film Farinelli, which won the Golden Globe for Best Foreign Language Film in 1995, was based on real-life events, but as you might expect, there was quite a bit of artistic license involved in the storytelling. So, who was Farinelli? Well, he was born Carlo Maria Michelangelo Broschi in 1705 into a family of musicians in Andria, southern Italy. But he moved to the city of Naples when he was just 6 years old. His older brother Riccardo was already enrolled at the conservatory there, specialising in composition, and he introduced young Carlo to the famous Neapolitan singing teacher Nicola Porpora. When the brother's father died suddenly, aged only 36, the Broschis were left without any financial security. Carlo had a lovely voice. It seems likely that Riccardo, now the head of the family, took the decision to make his little brother the breadwinner by subjecting him to the dangerous and illegal surgical procedure of castration. The public spin placed on this dread event was that the boy had fallen from his horse. We've discussed the finer points of how to create a castrato on the Early Music Show before, and I'm always mindful of the fact that it goes on air when many people are eating their lunch, so I'll just mention this one more time. Never mind the odds of a mutilated boy growing up to make a fortune for his indigent family. The chances of surviving the operation were pretty slim. But Carlo did make it through, and a star was born. Back to the Farinelli film, in which big brother Riccardo Broschi is a very important cog in the wheel. He was indeed a composer in his own right, although his music is more or less now forgotten. And as you might expect, he wrote music for his more famous younger brother. This aria is from the pastiche, or compilation opera, Artaserse, which Riccardo Broschi helped Porpora to put together in London in 1734, as something of a showcase for Farinelli, as Carlo was now known.
Thank you.
Eva Mala-Skodlewska and Derek Lee Reagan as the combined voice of Farinelli from the film of 1994. That was the aria Son qual nave cagitata by Farinelli's older brother Riccardo Broschi from the opera Artaserse, first produced in London in 1734. At that point in the film, Farinelli is at the height of his powers, sometime before the much-publicised fallout between the two brothers that forms one of the main threads of the film. In real life, Farinelli was famous throughout Europe and in demand in all of the great opera houses and royal courts. With Farinelli's name on the bill, you could pretty much guarantee a sell-out crowd for your latest operatic extravaganza. But he wasn't the only castrato on the circuit, and there were bitter rivalries between the greatest castrati of the day, Senesino, Farfallino, Caffarelli. You can only imagine the scenes during rehearsals between these great divos. The young Australian countertenor, David Hanson, has recently released a new disc called Rivals, Arias for Farinelli and Company. A track from that album now, a ravishing aria from Leonardo Vinci's opera Il Medo, first produced in Parma in 1728, with the 23-year-old Farinelli playing second lead to his rival and mentor, Antonio Bernacchi.
Thank you.
Sento due fiamme in petto. In my breast I feel two fires. The Australian countertenor David Hanson with the Accademia Montis Regalis, directed by Alessandro De Marchi, in an aria from Leonardo Vinci's 1728 opera Il Medo, which starred the great castrato Farinelli alongside his rival, but one time, teacher Antonio Bernacchi. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, dipping into a rare film soundtrack from the 1990s. This programme is available as a download via the Radio 3 website. Much of the film, Farinelli, centres on his time in London and the growing rift between him and his brother. But in the background is the bitter rivalry between the two great opera companies, Handel's Royal Academy, backed by King George II, and Nicola Porpora's Opera of the Nobility, backed by Frederick, Prince of Wales. On arriving in London at the invitation of Porpora and the Prince of Wales, Farinelli meets Margaret Hunter, principal patron of the Opera of the Nobility. Simultaneously, Alexandra, her young niece, begins to fall madly in love with Farinelli. Handel's critics are resolutely against him, but curiously, Farinelli defends the composer from the other side, as it were, provoking scandalous rumours about him. Young Alexandra, apparently on Handel's side, actually steals his latest score for Farinelli, who decides to sing his new work on Porpora's stage. It's a classic movie biopic plot filled with secrets, betrayal and subterfuge, and it builds to a confrontation between singer and composer backstage during the first night of Handel's stolen opera. Hope you're still with me. Handel, who has tricked Riccardo Broschi into telling him the secret of his brother's golden voice, challenges Farinelli to sing the stolen music without a single mistake and tells him he knows all. Let's ignore, shall we, the tiresome truth that Handel was A, a man of the world, and B, used to working with castrati, so the origins of Farinelli's talent can't possibly have escaped him. Quick, back to movie land. Faced with being outed for having work done, I suppose you'd call it, Farinelli remains composed. He manages to control his despair and sing, reaching such summits of passion and perfection as never before.
Thank you. nostro è postula, la face e mi sdegna, io mi stiro, con la faccia io mi stiro, ospiti urbei, con la face e io mi sdegno, dove sole è postula, io mi stiro, ospiti urbei, ospiti urbei.
The reconstructed voice of Farinelli from the 1994 biopic in that aria from Handel's opera Rinaldo. In the film, this is the new work that Handel has had stolen by Farinelli's young lover Alexandra, so that Farinelli can sing it with a rival opera company. Handel is all at once betrayed, belittled, embarrassed and impressed. He faints, swept up and overcome by the wave of emotion caused by the extraordinary and unprecedented combination of his beautiful music with Farinelli's voice. In real life, neither of the two companies survived this colossal confrontation, and both were bankrupt within a year. In the film, it's a climactic scene for Farinelli, who never sings on the stage again. He retires to Spain with his beloved Alexandra, only for his brother Ricardo to arrive several years later to open up old wounds. Pergolesi's Salve Regina from the film soundtrack of Farinelli, using the combined and digitally edited voices of soprano Eva Malas-Godlewska and countertenor Derek Lee Regan. Christophe Rousset directed the musicians of Les Talents Lyriques. The castrato phenomenon is the only bit of Baroque performance practice that's unlikely to be revived. despite taking a few liberties with music history, Farinelli is a sumptuous, sympathetic film that's well worth exploring. Put the DVD in the machine, make sure you have Prosecco and biscotti to hand, and nestle on the sofa as you enter the world of those operatic creatures of whom it was said, no man or woman in the world can boast of a voice like theirs.
That was Catherine Bott, and today's Early Music Show, as part of the BBC's Sound of Cinema season, was produced in Salford by Les Pratt. On tomorrow's programme, Lucy Skeeping will look at the story and the music for the French early music-inspired film about the lives of Marin Marais and Sainte Colombe. That's at the usual time, just after the 1 o'clock news, tomorrow here on Radio 3. Well, then, an hour from now, Saturday Classics continues our Sound of Cinema season when the conductor Robert Ziegler chooses excerpts from some of his favourite movie soundtracks. The music of Bernard Herrmann, Bernstein and Harold Arlen feature this afternoon, the man who wrote the music for The Wizard of Oz. And there'll be more recent soundtracks featured too, all from 3 o'clock this afternoon. And at 6 o'clock this evening, our opera on three is a rarely heard opera by Wagner, very different from the ones that made his name. Das Liebesverbot is a comic opera based on Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, and it was Wagner's attempt to write music for the stage, the second attempt he made, in fact, and undoubtedly his most unsuccessful one. The lead singer forgot his lines on the opening night and had to improvise, and he wasn't much better the second time around, and that second performance was its last. Well, our recording is a little bit more successful. It was made back in 1976 in Manchester. Edward Downes is the conductor, and you can hear it in Opera on 3 tonight at 6 here on BBC Radio 3. But now it's just after 2 o'clock. Very good afternoon to you from me, Ian Skelly. This next programme is a second chance to hear the lunchtime concert that we broadcast live last Monday from Wigmore Hall in London. It was given by the pianist Christian Blackshaw, who played just two pieces, Schubert's Piano Sonata in A Minor, Deutsch number 784, and Schumann's Fantasia in C, Opus 17. Let's start with the Schubert. He actually wrote two sonatas in A minor. This is the shorter one. It's also the darker one. Surely one of his bleakest pieces, in fact. It was composed in 1823 and rejected by Schubert's publisher at the time. It only saw the light of day 11 years after Schubert died. It's in three movements. The first is tense and mysterious. The second is more serene. And the last movement, rippling but sinister. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.